Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 2, text number 67. Das tvat padabjam pinihati pandito. Yas te vamana vyayamana ketanaha. Vishanka yasmat guru arhati smayad. Chati. Vino papatim manavash chatur dusha. Translation. My dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshipping your lotus feet, even our Father? This is Lord Shiva speaking to the Lord, our Father. The sons of Brahma. Even our Father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, has unhesitatingly worshipped you. And the 14 Manos followed in his footsteps. There's a very nice two-page purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word pandita means, quote, a wise man who is actually a wise man. The wise man is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:19 in this way. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavanmam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti. You know the verse? Samahatma sadurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So that's who is a pundit. He knows that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything thus is Krishna or Krishna's. Prabhupada said there are two things in all of creation. There's Krishna. And there's Krishna's. And there's not a third thing. And to emphasize, he said, there's no such thing as void in all of God's creation. There's either Krishna or Krishna's. There's no such thing as void. Because what's void? There's neither Krishna nor Krishna's. There's no third thing. Like in science, eighth grade science, you'll learn this in eighth grade science probably. What is a vacuum? I remember doing it in eighth grade science. Our science teacher put a very thick glass, they can call it a bell jar, then took a vacuum pump and pumped everything out of bell jar and said, what's inside? Now that we pumped everything out, and the answer we were supposed to say is nothing. Because all air, all water, all solids have been removed. There's nothing. What's inside? Nothing. but there's space inside. Akash. Right? And just think, that's what the impersonalists, excuse me, the monists or the Shunyavadis want to become one with. Nothing. Wow. That's like their ultimate goal. Is to become one with nothing. In fact, they say, even right now, that's the existence. That's the reality. The reality is nothing. Where does everything come from? It comes from nothing. What exists? Nothing. And what's the ultimate goal? Nothing. Nothingness. Whoa. As Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, born of frustration. Such an idea. With no reference to scripture, just born of frustration. So what's a pundit? One who knows. A wise man who knows everything is Krishna's. And Krishna is the source of everything. Vasudev Sarvamiti. Some Mahatma Sudurlaba. Such a learned person is very rare. Next. Thus, when the wise man actually becomes wise after many births and whimsical attempts of self-realization, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such a Mahatma, or learned person, knows that Krishna, Vasudeva, is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Learned persons always think that life is wasted unless they worship Krishna or become his devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami. So this is, he's just playing off of this word at the end, pandito. Kastvat padabjam vijahati pandito. He really wants us to know who is this person that's being referred to in Lord Shiva's prayer. So he's, Prabhupada is going to take us into a deeper dive into that subject. Srila Rupa Goswami also says that one who becomes an advanced devotee, he understands that he should be reserved and perseverant, shantihi, and that he should engage in the service of the Lord and not waste time, avyarta kalatvam. He should also be detached from material attraction, viraktihi, and he should not long for any material respect in return for his activities, mana shunyata. He should be certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him, asha bandaha. And he should always be very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. Samut kantha. The wise man is always very eager to glorify the Lord by chanting and hearing. Namagane sada ruchihi. Does this list sound familiar? And he is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Asaktis tad gunakyane. He should always be attracted to those places where the Lord had his pastimes. Pritis tad vasatis tale. Anybody want to volunteer where this list is spoken or presented elsewhere in Prabhupada's writings? Nectar devotion. the symptoms of one situated in the platform of bhava. It's a nice verse to remember. We'll come back to it. You'll find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'll read it. Because it takes up half of Prabhupada's purport here. These are symptoms of an advanced devotee. So he's still playing on Pandita. Next paragraph. An advanced devotee, or a perfect human being who is actually wise, Pandita, and learned, cannot give up his service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Although Lord Brahma had a long span of life, 4,320,000,000 years constitute 12 hours in a day of Brahma. That's like half a day. 4,320,000,000 times 2 equals 1 day. Times 365 makes 1 year. Times 1,000 makes his life. And for his whole life, he had all of these qualities. He didn't interrupt his service to Krishna for a siesta or some recreation or little break from devotional service. I've worked very hard. No break from devotional service. Attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. Brahma is afraid of death and consequently engages in devotional service of the Lord. Similarly, all the Manus who appear and disappear during the day of Brahma are also engaged in the Lord's devotional service. That's this last line. Manavas Chaturdasha. Chaturdasha. The Manus, the 14 Manus, they're also engaged in devotional service, as is Lord Brahma, for his whole life, engaged in devotional service. In Brahma's one day, 14 Manus appear and disappear. The first Manu is Swayambhuva Manu. Each Manu lives for 71 yugas, each consisting of some 4,320,000 years. That's 1 times 71. That's one Manu. Although the Manus have such a long lifespan, they still prepare for the next life by engaging in devotional service of the Lord. So now he's collapsing it down to the lifespan of a human being today, who should similarly worship Krishna their whole life. In this age, human beings live only for 60 or 80 years. And even this small lifespan is gradually decreasing. Therefore, it is even more imperative for human beings to take to the worship of the lotus feet of the Lord by constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi suni chena. You know that one? Can you say it loud? Do you know that one? Okay. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is often surrounded. This is the last paragraph. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is often surrounded by envious people. Not you. Not you. It's those other people. You know, those other people. And often many enemies come to try to defeat him or stop him. That is not new in this present age, for even in the days of your Prahlad Maharaj, who was engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, was harassed by his demoniac father Hiranyakashipu. The atheists are always prepared to harass a devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested that one be very tolerant of these people. Nonetheless, one has to continue chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and preaching the chanting of this mantra, because such preaching and chanting constitute the perfection of life. One should chant and preach about the urgency of making this life perfect in all respects. One should thus engage in devotional service of the Lord and follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas, beginning with Lord Brahma and others. End of purport. So the verse one more time. Kastvat padabjam vijahati pandito yaste vamana vyayamana ketanaha vishanka yasmat guru archati sma yad vino papatim manavashchachurdasha. My dear Lord, any learned person, pandita, knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshiping your lotus feet? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worshiped you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps. So this is a song sung by Lord Shiva. He's referring to Lord Brahma here as Guru, because the father is one of one's gurus, and he is respecting Lord Brahma in that way. Although the feeling is mutual, Lord Brahma respects Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva respects Lord Brahma as his father, and refers to him by example, that he's constantly engaged in service unto the personality of Godhead. So, the way that Prabhupada has chosen to enter into the commentary or purport of this is by referring to Rupa Goswami. How Rupa Goswami has said the same thing, only he's taking it to the very advanced stages of bhakti. This there's a reference, I'm going to indicate the reference that comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the talk between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy on life's ultimate goal. You know that very, very famous dialogue where Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what's the goal of life and how to achieve it? But the ultimate goal of life and how to achieve it. So they have this discussion. And then when the goal of life is to engage in devotional service, Lord Chaitanya continues in his discussion with Ramananda Roy to explain the stages of devotional service. So the reference is made to Rupa Goswami's verse, which of course is Lord Chaitanya's teachings presented in a simple manner, where there's 9 stages of bhakti, from Shraddha to Prema, that verse. And Lord Chaitanya is expanding, or Ramananda Roy, rather, is expanding on that verse. And he gets up to the stage of Bhava Bhakti. I'm going to read, there's a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's Nectar of Devotion. That's a reference from the Narada Pancharatra. And this is a very intense stage of devotion where one's sense of proprietorship. Yesterday we were speaking about pride. Pride being that which you think is yours, and that which you think is yours, I and mine, to become proud that this is mine. So in the advanced stage, there is a sense of what is mine. And what is mine is my relationship with Krishna. That's one thing that I can say is mine. Even I can't say that I, because I, as spirit soul, I'm Krishna's property. I can't even say the soul is mine. But from the soul, there's a relationship with Krishna. So Krishna, my relationship with Krishna is mine. Or the reference from Narada Pancharatna is that Krishna is mine. But not like Krishna is mine, like, you know, you take something and put it in your pocket and walk down the street because it's mine. But the relationship, or Krishna, I am yours. That's who I am. I am yours. What about mine? You are mine. Our relationship is what's mine. Here's the quote. Well, ananya mamata. Mamata is a sense of proprietorship. Ananya mamata. There's no other possession that I have. There's only one possession. That's Krishna. Not owning Krishna, but the relationship with Krishna. When one develops an unflinching sense of ownership or possessiveness in relation to Lord Vishnu, or in other words, where one thinks Vishnu and no one else to be the object of love, such an awakening is called bhakti by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. And they're mentioned by name in this reference from Narada Pancharatra. So sometimes you'll find this kind of language in the first canto of Bhagavatam and elsewhere, where it says, and then devotional service begins. Like, you know, someone's already a devotee, and something very wonderful happens, and then devotional service begins. Have you ever run across that and scratched your head saying, wow, am I doing devotional service yet? Or, and then devotional service begins. It's referring to this, the stage where there's ananya mamata, there's no other shelter. Because our position presently is mixed. Mixed. We're conditioned. We're not yet there yet. We may accept that's the goal, but we're not there yet. So we're, in that sense, we're practicing devotional service. Vidhi sadhana bhakti. We're practicing. Rupa Goswami, in a very liberal way, explains that even practicing, if it's following that objective, if it's following the teaching that Lord Chaitanya has given, I want to come to that stage. And I'm just practicing. That's also considered uttam bhakti. Yes? Anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma janapratam anukul kulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. Anukul is accepting. And anushilana is those activities which are pleasing to the personality of Godhead. I've accepted that. I'm cultivating that. Sadhana, that's like, that's, so, that verse of Nectar of Devotion is the summary verse for the whole of nectar devotion. But the whole of nectar devotion includes sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti, yes? Those three topics. So even sadhana, that's what we're doing. Sadhana bhakti, it's included in uttam bhakti. Even the practice, it's just like a little tulsi sprout that's in your tulsi pot. There's a little poop. There's two little leaves come out of the top. That's also tulsi. It's tulsi. As much as the tulsi that became big and strong and had manjaris and had seeds, and one of the seeds fell, it went into the ground and made this little boop. The mature stage and the immature stage are both uttam bhakti if the aspiration is, the cultivation is, to come to that stage of no other shelter but Krishna. Even we're not there yet. You follow? So, next verse in this chapter of life's ultimate goal. If by good fortune a living entity develops faith in Krishna, he begins to associate with devotees, adausha tata taksadu sangha. When one is encouraged in devotional service by the association of devotees, one becomes freed from all unwanted contamination. It goes through the stages up to prema bhakti. After taste is awakened, a deep attachment arises, and from that attachment, the seed of love for Krishna grows in the heart. When that ecstatic emotional stage intensifies, it is called love of Godhead. Such love is life's ultimate goal and the reservoir of all pleasure. Note, Prabhupada's reservoir of pleasure comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the title. Rama, the reservoir of pleasure. Then he quotes that Adaushradha verse and then continues, the spiritually powerful message of Godhead, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. Does anybody know that verse? This is a verse, thank you. It's a verse from the teachings of Lord Kapila to Devahuti, describing the process. Shraddha, satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata. So, in the association of devotees, satam prasangam mama virya sambhido. When in the association of such powerful Vaishnavas, that's the translation, and you hear their messages, and the message enters into the ear, it's like rasayana. Any of you have gone to a Ayurvedic medicine store, and they sell different kinds of rasayana? It's a medicine. Rasayana kata. It's a medicine for the heart. Bhavanti rit karna rasayana kata. It cures the heart from its material existence. And in the course of time, shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. That's like a big jump from Shraddha, Ratir Bhakti, Anukramishyati. Anukramishyati means step by step. Anukrama, step by step, it unfolds. From the stage of faith, preliminary faith, Adau Shraddha, up to Rati. Rati is another name for Bhava, which is what Prabhupada has delineated in the purport. So now, next is the very same verse that Prabhupada is referring to in the purport, comes in this life's ultimate goal. This is from Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kshantir. These are the symptoms of bhava, or rati. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, it's like, you know, a tulsi, and the tulsi manjari, and then there's tulsi seeds that come from the tulsi manjari. Now you have a little tulsi seed. You can keep in a jar for some time, but maybe you want to grow some tulsi, so you take the seed and plant the seed, so it will fructify. So, similarly, the process of bhakti that we're taking up, the sadhana bhakti, if it's received from Rupa Goswami, or the followers, pure followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the followers of Rupa Goswami, the Rupa Anugas, that's the seed. Brahmanda, Brahmite Kona, Bhagyavan, Jeev, Guru Krishna, Prasadi by Bhakti, Lata, Bija. So the seed from the Tulsi Manjari, using that example, is the seed from this tree of love of God that comes in this descending fashion, in disciplic succession. And when one seed receives that, then one can try to grow it. That's what we're all trying to do. We're doing the sadhana, the regulative practices that are to help fructify that seed. And when the seed fructifies to the stage of ecstatic emotion for Krishna, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. So I'll go through them quickly because it's what Prabhupada has done in the purport. I just wanted to put it in context. Shantihi. Here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada has translated it as forgiveness. In the Bhagavatam, it's reserved and perseverant. Kshantihi with a K. Shantihi. So, it's like in Bhishma Dev's teachings, in Bhishma Parva, it's also in the Bhagavatam, when Bhishma is giving indication to Yudhisthira how to overcome anger, he gives as the antidote for anger, forgiveness. Practice forgiveness. Kshantihi. If there's some transgression against you, you forgive. There's this saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. You've heard that one before? We all make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, what is it that we would like? Well, we'd like to not make those same mistakes again. But we'd also like those persons who are the recipients of those mistakes to forgive us. So supposing some makes a transgression against us, what should we do? No. No. Practice forgiveness. Practice it. It's a quality of goodness. It puts something on the other side of the pan scale. But for one who is on the bhava bhakti platform, it's not even a practice or a cultivation. It's a quality. They're steady and perseverant. They're not moved by duality. Like, oh, they're treating me very nicely. Oh, they're treating me very cruelly. And then one's enthusiasm goes up or down, depending upon what's going on out there in the world of duality. But a devotee that's at the Bhava Bhakti platform, well, let's say where the seed of devotion has fructified and one is feeling from the heart the relation with Krishna and feeling ecstatic in that relation with Krishna, they're steady and perseverant. They're peaceful. And when there's some transgression, like Prahlad Maharaj by Hiranyakashipu, he was forgiving. In fact, he became the well-wisher of this mean-spirited person. It wasn't, you know, you fixed his wagon, you took care of him, thank you. Please deliver him from all the reactions that he's going to have to suffer. That's high to think like that. But that's the position of one, it's the symptom of one who is actually achieved, not just someone who can cry, but someone who can be forgiving. Yes? And perseverant in any circumstance. So, avyarta kalatvam. I'll go through these quickly. It'd be easier to spend a few hours with all of you describing such nice symptoms. Avyarta kalatvam. Kala, it's time. One is very reluctant to waste even a moment. There's the positive side and there's the negative side. The positive side is time is very valuable. It's an opportunity to serve Krishna. For a materialist, what's the saying? Time is money. Now, if you call a shop, I've had this experience, you call a shopkeeper in New York City to buy some merchandise. If you don't, like, you know, within 30 seconds come up with an order, they hang up the phone. You know, time is money. Don't waste my time. You want to make an order or not? Hang up. It's right in the middle of the call. I mean, not all of them are like that, but there are some of them that are like that. Time is money. So for a devotee, time is an opportunity to serve Krishna. We don't want to waste a moment. I'll share a little Prabhupada story with you in this relation. In our New York temple, the head pujari for a period of time was Rukmini Dasi. And Prabhupada, I didn't know this, but there were regular communications with our temple president and head pujari, and she was writing to Prabhupada. And because we saw this, it was posted outside the temple room door. Prabhupada wrote that, you know, it is very nice to see that you come to the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Because you have this symptom that you don't want to waste even a moment in service to Krishna. This is very nice. So we were like, you know, 1 year, 2 year devotees, and Prabhupada saying, oh, it's nice that you've attained Bhava Bhakti. Maybe tomorrow I'll attain Bhava Bhakti. Prabhupada was being very encouraging. Very encouraging. Very lovingly encouraging to a very wonderful devotee. But he wanted to emphasize, by encouragement, to emphasize how important it is. Because I asked her later, you know, what did you say to Prabhupada? She's saying, you know, I'm in anxiety that there's so many nice things to do to serve Radha Govinda, and I don't have time to do all those things. So I'm, you know, trying to be very conscientious in use of time. She was just sharing with her heart. And Prabhupada shared his. Oh, very nice. You've attained Bhava Bhakti. But we should have that concern. And it's a symptom. It's a natural symptom of one who has the seed of bhakti has fructified into ecstatic emotion. We don't want to waste time. There's no time wasters. There's no opportunity because life is so filled with bhakti and service. Viraktir, detachment from other things. Mana shunyata. Eagerness in chanting the holy name. Actually, he's put together. Yeah. Samutkanta. I'm sorry. Mana shunyata is absence of false prestige. Or longing for respect from others. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's one of the causes of anarthas. For one who makes a little advancement, does something very nicely, just like I'll compliment our head pujari. The abhishek for Lord Nityananda was so nice, and the altar was decorated so nicely for Lord Nityananda's appearance day. It took a while, but when the doors opened, it took your breath away. And such a nice ceremony. I was ready to go off the altar. He said, no, you're not done yet. You stay here. I wanted to give others an opportunity. He wanted me to stay. And it's so nice. I don't know if he's here hearing. So I'm offering some words of appreciation for your head pujari. So there should not be some eagerness. Oh, at last someone has realized how devoted I am to Radha Madan Mohan and how good a pujari I am. The purpose for such a nice worship of the deity is for the pleasure of the deity, not so I'll get some recognition that I've done something very nicely. And apply the same thing to any one of us. Someone led a very nice kirtan, or someone, something, cooked a very nice feast, or something. We should do for the one thing only, the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. I could spend some time appreciating this devotee, that devotee here in the temple. And as I visited over a period of time, I'm seeing there's a number of devotees that are, the pillars are becoming even more strong. Pillars of the community, the temple and the community, both. And many other community members are coming forward and doing nice service. But our purpose should not be so that we can get some recognition. Or if that recognition comes, now what do you do? I didn't do it for that reason, but now it came. Now what do you do? It goes to Krishna. Krishna is very wonderful. He's taking this fallen soul and decorating this fallen soul with something so that somebody appreciates. A fallen soul. It's Krishna. It's just the mercy of Krishna. How merciful is Krishna? Ashapanda. Here in the verse, it's being certain, not just hoping, but being certain Krishna will bestow his mercy. You know, sometimes there's anxiety. Maybe Krishna won't recognize the call that I'm making for his mercy. But the ecstasy is when there's certainty. One is receiving it. Because that connection, the heart is open and Krishna's giving and you're receiving and you're feeling ecstatic. I'm certain this is just the nature of Krishna. That's where there's full shelter. And there's no other shelter. Samyukanta namagane. One is very eager to chant the holy name. Not just using our phrase, ISKCON vernacular, to finish my rounds. some utkanta namagane sadaruchihi. One's experiencing a taste in the activities of devotional service. So, because of the time factor, I'm not going to continue. This is symptoms of a pandita, an advanced devotee, one who is in that stage, one who is actually wise, has attained this. What's the question of giving up devotional service? Or becoming complacent even in devotional service? Or slackening in devotional service? It's just, keep going. That's this prayer by Lord Shiva. One who has attained that stage, the careful contemplation of the Lord's lotus feet and the unsteadiness has been surpassed by steadiness because of the purification that has taken place, by that price that we have paid by very carefully carrying out the regulations of sadhana bhakti. The heart has become pure. Tadarajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayasya cheta etairanadvitam stitvam sattve prasidati, and so on. The gradual upliftment to the lower modes of nature and lust and greed and on the other side of those things. And then some taste, some attachment, some deep feeling from the heart. How can such a person give up devotional service? They can't. It's like the gopis. They tried to stop thinking of Krishna. Let's stop thinking of Krishna. They couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. Because then they would talk about why Krishna should be, we should forget him. And Krishna this, and Krishna that, and Krishna this, and Krishna that. We should stop thinking of Krishna. They can't stop thinking of Krishna. They're completely attached to Krishna. So then they began imitating the pastimes of Krishna. So they could feel indirectly Krishna's presence. And as they were doing that, they were feeling Krishna's presence. Such is the stage of advanced devotion. One can't give up. So it's a prayer to Lord Vishnu to come to that stage. And the last point is, Prabhupada is making reference in the purport to Lord Brahma, who is afraid of death, which is from the previous. Death is there waiting like the serpent. And there's the mouse. There goes the mouse. So all things temporary will go that way. They'll be destroyed by time. So we don't take shelter of those temporary things. We'll be destroyed in the same way. Or our sense of happiness and contentment and so-called shelter will be destroyed in the same way. And then it's grief. But, on the other hand, a learned person, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudev sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. Let us go that path. The path of taking full shelter in the personality of Godhead, recognizing there is no other shelter but Him. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How to? Always act in relationship to Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And then,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And then repeat. Anyone else? Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that you should take each anartha and work it out very carefully. Can you elucidate more on this?
Another class, because of time. Did you hear the question? The simple response is, don't go jumping. Sometimes I hear from the devotees, there's so many things that I know I should be doing. And when I start contemplating those so many things that I should be doing, I just spin. And then I realize I'm doing none of them. What to do? And the answer is, do one of them. Take one that you think is, A, it's doable. If I stay with it, it's doable. B, if I can get this thing together, it will really help. You have some faith that it will make some significant difference. So, and C, take guidance from those who are guiding you in your spiritual life, from your mentors. Is this something, and can you help me select something and then help me stay with it? And if you do that, something that really resonates in your heart, it really grabs you. If you feel it, you know, deep in your heart, you feel this is something I really want to do. Stay with it. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. You know, highs and lows, hills and valleys, stay with it. And what will happen is, there's so many things will also be benefited. But if you don't even do that one thing, then they'll stay the same. Take one thing that's very significant. So we say prioritize. Just like we had this discussion yesterday. Yes? And prioritize. Well, there are two things mentioned. Prioritized. Just stay with it. And stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. And you'll find from doing that where the anartas are in your heart. They'll be like, you know, a rock in your shoe. And how long can you walk with a rock in your shoe? It hurts. You want to get the rock out of your shoe. And so get the rock out of your shoe, and then you keep walking, and you find, wait a minute, there's some more rocks in my shoe. So, you stay with it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's advice is, 5 years, he doesn't use the word anartha, he uses some other word, forget, weakness or something like that, that to be overcome. 5 years on one. Then he expands it and says, so that means in the course of your lifetime, you can maybe get rid of about 10 unwanted things. That's great. You can get rid of 10 unwanted things in the course of your lifetime. That's great. And, again, with those, even one of those things, as that one thing is advancing, other things will also diminish. The other unwanted things. As a byproduct, they'll diminish. Like the example that when the tide rises, all boats are lifted. So just bring that one thing up, and other things will be benefited. I'll take one more question. Sorry. Maybe two more questions. The holy name is so powerful, and holy name is not different from Krishna. I am hearing this so many times. But deep understanding is not coming. How to? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then repeat. So it's Abhyasa Yoga Yuktina. If it doesn't penetrate, it's because the heart is hard and the head is hard and, you know, our desire is weak. We still have other desires. And so we're taking shelter of those other desires while we're chanting, and it's not entering. Krishna is not going to force you, but Krishna will invite you. He'll knock on your door. He'll encourage you. But the effort needs to be continued, and Krishna, seeing that continued effort, he'll help. He'll reciprocate. I don't know the internal consciousness of an advanced devotee. How can I desire for that stage of devotion? Well, we're hearing it. This is your question. Your question. We're hearing it, just we heard it a little bit. Rupa Goswami's verses and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami expanding and explaining those verses. So, we don't know from practical experience, but we can hear. And from hearing, we can get some indication. It's like, you know, looking at the sky through a telescope. Or the other way around, looking at something very small through a microscope. We can't enter there, but we can see. So through the lens of the scripture, we can see that which is not in our immediate experience, but we can get at least some idea. And by careful following, that's our goal. Although we haven't experienced it yet, we know very clearly that's the goal. So while I'm doing my sadhana, I don't necessarily have to hanker for becoming, you know, a bhava bhakta, but I can think about, I should be very careful with time. I should be very careful when I'm chanting that I want to try to be attentive and be present with the holy name, etc. It's like I'm cultivating, I'm way down here, and I'm cultivating, but I know what the standard is. That's the benefit. It's just a very simple thing, and I'll end. Prabhupada said on a number of occasions, and it resonated very strongly with me, that when you define the goal of something, then it's very easy to proceed towards the goal. Even the goal may be far. Supposing somebody has heard, gee, the devotees in Moscow, they're building a new temple and they're so enthusiastic and there's so many obstacles, but they're so determined and, you know, it's Krishna's helping them and it's coming up. So I've never been to Moscow, but I'd like to go to Moscow and just, you know, be in the association of those devotees that are so determined, meeting their obstacles and maintaining enthusiasm. And so we have a goal. Go to Moscow. Associate with the devotees in Moscow. So then, okay, now what do I have to do? And, you know, you can take the steps necessary to reach that goal. So our goal is Krishna Prema. And our acharyas are so kindly made the map how to get there very clear. Like a treasure, you know, the pirate's treasure map. Where to get the gold? And they've even told, watch out for this side, there's a big serpent. Watch over there, there's big wasps and drones, etc. There are some ghosts. It's right in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Make sure you don't go there. Go, stay in the path, be on guard. Then you can get there. Even if it's not within your experience, which is what your note says, the very merciful acharyas have made the map very clear. and all the obstacles, very clear. Watch out for this and that. And with confidence, although it's not within your experience, you can proceed and you can feel yourself getting closer to the goal. Yeah, that's encouraging. And it nurtures faith to keep going. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.